This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's the start of another year, and for many of us, it's that familiar feeling of out with the old and in with the new. New routines, new goals, maybe even a fresh start. But while we're busy thinking about change, our bodies are already doing it. You might have heard the idea that the human body replaces itself every 7 years. I don't think mine has. Well, in reality, our bodies are renewing billions of cells every single day. So how does that work? Which cells are changing the fastest, and what does it mean for our health? Well, Teresa Larkham is Associate Professor of Medical Sciences at the University of Wollongong. Teresa, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm excited about this. Where's the renew button?
I know. I laughed when you said that. Absolutely. I know. I wish there was something that you could think, what about this skin, these wrinkles, these sunspots? And then who knows about all the things inside us that we can't see.
Tell us, why does the body replace itself and how does the process work?
Yeah, so the cells of the body are replacing themselves regularly, so different for different cells and different tissues. But yeah, sometimes you read that, you know, the body replaces itself every 7 years. It's kind of not super true in that 1% of our cells are being replaced per day, but it's more some tissues than others. But yeah, we need the body to be able to replace itself. So basically we need that really when we're healing. So if we've done any kind of damage, but just to remain healthy. So cells throughout the body are continuously dividing to replace themselves. Sometimes there's injured or, you know, when we're injured or sick, there'll be cells that are damaged. And then also we've got cells dying all the time in apoptosis, which is that natural cell death. And that's kind of protective, where we do want sometimes our older cells to go, and then we can replace them if we can with new ones.
Are there any cells in the body that don't renew themselves over a person's lifetime?
Yeah, it's interesting because there are some that are replacing themselves more regularly and then others that are doing so less regularly. So the ones that are being replaced most often are our skin. And, you know, we see that in terms of, or we might not notice it necessarily, but our skin is always replacing itself. So every 4 weeks, a cell leaves the surface of our skin and it's continuously being replaced. Yeah, so every skin cell has a 4 week life cycle. But do you know what's interesting with that? The first 2 weeks, the cell is alive. The second 2 weeks, it's dead. But the dead cells sitting on the surface of our skin have an important role. So they are literally physical protection, just filled with keratin. And they also provide some UV, but obviously the melanin does that more. But yeah, so our skin is a really good example of replacement. And we do see that in terms of, you know, when we injure ourselves or cut ourselves or you have a blister, we can literally see the skin regenerating. For example, in a blister, the skin cells regenerate from the outside in. So you know how you kind of see a blister shrink?
Yes.
When it's repairing, and that's because the newer skin cells are coming from the edge. So it's our skin, the lining of our gut, and our blood cells, they're actually quite short term. So they're always churning over. So the lining of our gut is replaced in less than 1 week.
Oh, wow.
And our blood cells, some of the white blood cells are, exactly. So it's got a high turnover. And I suppose because the skin and the lining of our gut, they're exposed to external factors all the time. So we do need to make sure that cells that are exposed to the outside world are replaced regularly, because they could easily be damaged or easily picking up viruses or toxins. So yeah, the lining of our gut, those cells around less than a week, white blood cells a few days, and then red blood cells 120 days, 3 months. So they're the parts that are replaced quite regularly. And then, yeah, as you say, some that are not. So the liver, it can actually regenerate itself.
Can it really?
Our muscle, yeah,
Wow.
Yeah, so the liver is really the only organ with that capacity, you know, different to say that skin and the intestinal lining and things like that are constantly renewing. But the liver doesn't. It's interesting because that's not from stem cells, which is what normal replacement is, but from mature liver cells. So basically if there's been damage or part of the liver has been removed, there's special chemical messengers called growth factors, and they stimulate the liver to return to its normal weight and cell number in around 2 weeks.
Oh, wow, that's so quick,
too. So it's pretty interesting.
I imagine nutrition plays an important part.
It is, and it's said that it actually... Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's so true with all of this and with organ renewal and cell renewal. But it's interesting with the liver, like even up to 90% can be removed and it can regenerate. And it's interesting because even after long-term alcohol damage, liver function can recover in 4 weeks, which is where I imagine the premise of, you know, dry July or a month without alcohol came in, because that's enough time for the liver to recover.
That's really interesting, because I always thought
and
dry
then, yeah,
July,
we've got muscle sorry. And, yeah.
Sorry, we've got a bit of a delay. I always thought something like dry July was, oh, well, why do it for 1 month? Does that have any benefit? But in this case, it would have some benefit.
Absolutely, yeah. So especially for people who are drinking heavily, having a month without it can absolutely make an impact on the liver function test. And even for people who are not drinking too much, still that it's a nice sort of four-week, you know, balance is actually a nice time for then the liver to recover any kind of function that it's been missing. But yeah, it's interesting, the things that last the longest in our body, fat around 10 years, muscle around 15 years. So we're carrying a lot of our old fat and muscle with us.
Of course, I don't mind the muscle, but I wish some of the fat could go. How does aging affect the body's ability to replace and repair its cells? I know it's not going to be good news, is it?
Oh, I know. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you just heard before when I first got online, I've got three of my nieces here with me at the moment. And you look at their skin and you look at the way they recover, and it's, yes, they have. Yeah. And it's so different, isn't it? So, yeah, absolutely. So as we age, the cells already are not dividing as often. Mm. So that means that things are slowing down and replacement is slowing down. And then a lot of the signals, the growth factors, even the nutritional factors can be reduced. So we can have a slower replacement, which is not as good, or we can have less ability to replace. Yeah, and it's interesting because there are other things that can affect, you know, over our lifetime, the renewal of different cells. And so nerves don't regenerate. So that's why, you know, when someone has neural damage or brain damage, that can be permanent. Yeah, sometimes. So if there's damage, then nerves can come back, but not if they're completely severed. But interestingly, during pregnancy, we have an increase in the neurons in the nasal cavity, the olfactory neuron stem cells regenerate. And that's why there can be, that can even be associated with the morning sickness, because there's this increased capacity to smell things that we wouldn't normally notice. Ah. So interesting that some neurons, yeah, especially with the nasal stuff, is super interesting in terms of our smell.
We're talking about how the human body renews itself with Teresa Larkin, Associate Professor of Medical Sciences at the University of Wollongong. Teresa, how is cell renewal linked to cancer risk?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The cancers that are most common are those ones that occur in what they're called epithelial tissues. And these are the tissues that cover the body like the skin and then line the organs. So through the intestinal tract, they're also present in the breast, in prostate, and then along, obviously, the intestine, which includes the colon. So because these cells are always turning over, that means that there are increased risk in there being an unregulated regeneration or an unregulated growth of abnormal cells. So that's why we do have an increased risk of cancer in those organs, because each time we have our cells duplicated from the stem cells, there is a chance, especially as we age, that that won't be done 100% perfectly. And so then that means that that next cell is not quite right. And that's essentially what the start of cancer is, where cells are changing and they're not doing the job they were originally meant to. So that's why those cancers are most common, whereas others, like in bone and muscle, they're really not common at all. We don't often hear about those as cancers. And that's why, because those cells are turning over much more slowly.
Why does chemotherapy then affect healthy cells as well as cancer cells?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's interesting because chemotherapy, what it does, it really is targeting cells that are rapidly dividing, because that's what the cancer is doing. So in a cancer, in a tumor, those cells are rapidly dividing. So the chemotherapy is trying to stop that to reduce the cancer. But the problem is then that also affects the other cells in our body that are rapidly dividing. And so that, for example, is why there can be impacts on white blood cell counts, because our white blood cells that are being made in the bone marrow, they're being made every 1 to 3 days. So they're also rapidly turning over. So they, unfortunately, are targeted. So that's why anyone going through chemotherapy, they have to check their white blood cell counts. If that's too low, they can't have chemotherapy because of the increase of risk of infection. And then also the side effect of nausea. That's because the intestinal cells are also rapidly dividing cells, rapidly regenerating. And so they're also targeted by chemotherapy. So the intestinal cells are damaged. That means certain things can't be absorbed. Things are absorbed differently. And that's where then we get the symptoms of nausea. So, yeah, we have that unfortunate side effect of healthy, highly, rapidly dividing cells also being impacted.
Teresa, one more question. Your nieces are being so well behaved. They haven't said anything.
They are, I know. They're watching Bluey. Isn't it the best show?
It shuts everyone up. Now, are there things, are there things we can do in everyday life, like, diet, sleep or something, or exercise, that support healthy cell renewal? How do we make sure, if we haven't got that magic button that I was hoping you'd say we have to renew our bodies, what can we do? What's in our control?
Yeah, that's right. It would be so good if we could just think, now I'd like a new lot of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because it's really related to aging as well, healthy aging is the best thing. And all of the aspects for that, and especially with cell renewal, are making sure we've got a lot of antioxidants around, because that really looks out for when we have this high turnover of cells. We often get the production of free radicals and other chemicals that can be damaging. So having a nice amount of antioxidants, which comes from all the different colored food in the, all of the fruits and vegetables and things like that. Sleep is a great one, because a lot of this renewal does take place during sleep. So that's definitely something that, that it is an important thing for us to sleep and have that time where we're resting during the day, so that that's when our energy reserves can literally go to replacing. So, when we think of the fight or flight stress response, and the opposite is rest and digest and restore. So the more time we can have in that parasympathetic nervous system, which is the opposite to fight or flight, then we're really allowing our body to have the chance to replace and heal. And yeah, you're right. Not too many toxins either ingested or smoked, or pollutants is always a good thing. So lots of fresh air, good breathing, stress lowering. Sleep always, and then exercise, and just trying to stay healthy throughout life. And I think the good thing to notice is that I don't think anyone's perfect throughout their whole life. That's true. And so the good thing is our body is super good at regulating and responding. So some bad days, months, years of not optimal, often the body can heal itself. So yeah, if we give it then the good nourishment and wholesomeness that it needs.
Good news from Teresa Larkin. Teresa, thank you so much. Happy New Year again. It's great to have you back for 2026, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Have a good evening.
You too. Teresa Larkin, Associate Professor of Medical Sciences from the University of Wollongong.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.